Second.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you here this morning. Good to be here together. We're still getting started this year. This is our second week gathering together after our break in the month of August. And for those of you that are joining us today, we're going through the book of Acts this year. The Acts of the Apostles. It's the fifth book in the New Testament, so you can either open up your iPhones and have an app there for a Bible, or you can have a hard copy in your hand. But important to have God's Word open as we go through it. I'm going to put a few verses up as I preach, but most of them are just going to be there in the text, and you're going to want to make sure I'm not misquoting anything. Sometimes I try to make sure you're paying attention. So make sure you have God's Word open as we go through it. We're continuing on in this kind of a two-year series, which is odd for us, because we're following the same author. Last year we went through the Gospel of Luke. Talked about the life of Jesus, his words, his actions, his deeds, where he had been, where he went, why he did what he did. And the same author of that book is now continuing on into this book of Acts, talking about the start of something new, the start of the church. This group here that we are didn't exist at this time when we started the book of Acts. This group of people coming together to worship Jesus was new. It was beginning. In fact, today we're going to see there was only 120 people that gathered together in the whole world to worship this Jesus. So this is something new that's starting here in this book of Acts that we're going to be exploring all year long. So it's pretty exciting. How many of you have looked back in your life at a certain period and said, I can't believe who I am today because of what happened 2 months ago? Or I can't believe where I'm at in the world because of a decision I made 2 months ago. For some of you, that decision happened when you showed up in Macedonia after a month or two of learning language. Some of you are language learners and teachers. You said, what am I doing in this country? I can't imagine the life I had in Macedonia when I was in the States or when I was in Holland or when I was in Germany. I can't imagine living in Macedonia. And here you are a month, 2 months later going, wow, my life has changed. For some of you, maybe that came at that point of graduation. You got out of high school where you were told all your classes, one after the other, and all of a sudden, you're free. College. Oh yeah, that's coming. I'm supposed to go to class. When? I'll go next week. Until that first year passes and your parents realize you never went and you never passed and you have to start again. Anybody do that? Repeat first year of college? Nobody's going to confess to that one. No, all right. I did okay. The only class I didn't do well in was PE. I got a D in that. It's because I tried to do all the physical requirements in one day. You're supposed to work out 3 times a week, so I did it all the day before it was due. I hurt, and it didn't work. Anyways, and some of you, maybe it was marriage. Month after the big wedding day, you remember seeing your wife, bride at the time, come down the aisle, and something changed inside and said, she's mine, or the wife going down saying, whoa, he's mine. 2 months later going, wow, she is mine. Okay, maybe it was the end of the honeymoon. Who knows when that moment happened. But a change that happened, and then you said, yes, she is mine. The decision to keep going forward and loving that person that God brought into your life. We all have those moments of looking back and saying, yeah, something changed in the past, and I'm not who I am because of it. I'm different. And today we're going to be looking at Peter specifically, because he's a completely different guy. In the time of this story, if he had put himself 2 months back, he would have been just one of the 12, one of the guys following Jesus along, hoping something cool was going to happen, learning every day. But he could never imagine that he was going to be a leader. He could never imagine that he was going to stand up and say, this is what Scripture says, and this is what we need to do. Because they had Jesus. who was saying, this is what Scripture says and this is what we should do. So we're going to see today how advancing the kingdom of God means that we need to be moving from just simply an observer to a server. Observing what's going on around us to actually serving those that are around us, that are in our community, that are part of our lives. So that's where we're going today in this sermon. Looking at how Peter's life was changed, and then looking at ourselves and saying, yeah, there's something about this change that Jesus has done in my life. That means I don't just sit and expect people to teach me, but I get involved. I'm a part of what God is doing. I'm a part of what God is doing to advance this kingdom around the world. Let's stop and pray. Father God, we thank you for Scripture. We thank you for these words that are written by this guy named Luke. He wrote it to help out a friend of his to understand what it is that he was believing was true, that he could believe it, that he could base his life upon it. So this morning, as we look at these words, and we expect the same thing. We expect you, the living God, to speak through this text and to change our lives. Make us different and change us. So help us today to move from being simply people who watch what's going on and learn and listen to people who get engaged, who care enough to be involved, people who share what they have for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the passage for today. It's found in Acts. Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 14, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our numbers and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all of his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. They called the field in their language Akedama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled." Can you imagine this Peter? What is it about him that allows him on this day, in this occasion, to stand up in front of the 120 people and speak to them, to address them, to encourage them, to open scripture for them and say, "This is what the scripture says"? Simply this, that Peter was changed by what he had observed, what he had seen. So Peter started off as one of the 12, one of those who went along and saw and heard what Jesus was doing. He was a witness. He saw these things that had happened. In fact, at the upper room, when he was just with the other 12 and Jesus was speaking to them, he was one of those wondering, which one of us is the best? Which one of us is your best friend? Which one of us is the best one of your apostles? I mean, he was sitting there with all the 12 wondering, who is the greatest? Who can be the greatest? So he was focused on being known, being encouraged. Jesus said, no, got the wrong focus, all of you. One who wants to be like me needs to serve like me. But Peter's also the one who, after that moment, betrayed Christ 3 times. We know the story. He went, followed after Jesus, and somebody asked him, "Were you with him?" And he said, "No, I don't know him." They asked again. He said, "No, I've never even heard of this guy." And the third time, he swore and said, "No, I don't know this man." And then it was reminded to him. Jesus looked at him, and he realized his best friend, the one he had been following, he had just denied. So he ran out and wept bitterly, crying, sorrowful. But the change in him was that he had been told by Jesus, when this is past, gather your brothers and sisters together, encourage them, feed them. And here, because he had seen the living Christ, because Jesus had shown up again and talked to him specifically, and showed him his hands and his feet and said, look, I'm alive. Because Peter had seen the empty tomb. Because Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore where Jesus was. And Jesus said, if you love me, feed the sheep, feed my family, feed those around me. Because of these amazing experiences in Peter's life, he was at this point saying, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Because Peter knew Jesus, he was able to stand up here in this moment and say, I have something to say. But he was able to say this also because he had the example of Jesus. How many of you know Jesus, I think it's almost his favorite words when he was talking to people. In the scriptures, it says. In this prophecy I have fulfilled, it says. Jesus' whole life was this fulfillment of what was written in the Old Testament. It was written where he would be born. It was written when he was going to be born. It was written in which town he was going to be born. Things he had no control of. It was also written that he was going to suffer, that he was going to die, that he was going to rise again. And in these verses, Peter shares, it was written that one of us, one of our 12, one of our close group of friends, was told he was going to deny Christ. He was going to be one of those. In fact, his place now needs to be filled. So Peter, in stepping into this role of leader, of stepping into this role of serving the others, very, I think, appropriately addresses this huge, aching problem that they all face. There's supposed to be 12 of us, and now there's 11. Somebody broke the trust. Somebody left. Somebody's dead and no longer a part of us. Jesus is alive, but we're 11, and there's supposed to be 12. So he interprets Scripture just like we see Jesus doing. In fact, it says after Jesus was risen again, this again ties the two books together that Luke wrote. At the end of Luke, it says about Jesus, that Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is Jesus speaking, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. So scripture says this, and now Peter, stepping into this role of helping the others follow after Christ, stepping into this role of feeding the sheep of Jesus, says, it is written. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. So these two phrases, we're going to see it more often in this book, but it tells us what's going on here is not an accident. What we saw happen, the death of Jesus, his resurrection, was not an accident. God planned this. What we saw here of Judas denying Christ and then dying, it was told it was going to happen. So we can have confidence that God is in control. God is working. Maybe in these moments where it's not clear, we can be confused, and we can be scared, we can be worried. But listen to me now. God is in control. God is working around us and in us. Are those amazing words that we can hold on to today ourselves? God's in control. Our lives, maybe they feel like they're out of control, especially if we look in the rearview mirror and say, I can't believe 2 months ago where I was, and here I am. And yet, God is in control. God is watching over us. God has a plan. In fact, God's plan is to advance his kingdom. And his kingdom is in our hearts. God's kingdom is not this visible thing that we can go to a place and say, yes, here he is. God's kingdom is in the hearts of his believers, going person by person around the world. God's kingdom is being built right here. Right here. And around the world where his believers are worshiping him. So when life is out of control and we see these gaping holes in our lives, somebody betrayed me, somebody's dead, life's out of control, I don't know what to do, I look in the past and it was good a month or two ago, and now where am I? This story speaks and says, God's in control. God knows what he's doing. He has his eye on you. So Peter was changed by what he observed. There was the before Peter, and now we're going to get to know this after Peter. After this event, after Jesus' resurrection and his going back to heaven, Peter is a changed man. And he wants to do what Christ sent him off to do, which is take the kingdom, take this around the world. It said take it from Jerusalem to Judea to the ends of the earth. In order for them to do that, they had to have their minds opened by Jesus to understand Scripture. So it happens to Peter, it happens today here amongst us as well. So Peter is a changed man, and he's going forward. He stood up, he based his observations on Scripture. But in this chapter here also, we see Peter choosing somebody to put into this role. So recognizes the problem that's there. Judas betrayed us and now he's dead. He says now somebody needs to be taking his place. So how do they go about choosing someone to be in this role of leadership? How do they choose someone to step into this role of one of the 12? Well, in the reading through there, we see that he had to be someone who followed Jesus. Not just knew about him, not just was there in the last days, but actually was an eyewitness of all that happened from the point of baptism with John, which was the start of Jesus' ministry, all the way to this point. And they came up with two names, okay? These are the two we're going to choose from. And they prayed. They said, God, you know their hearts. So something about these two people that God looked into them and chose. God picked them out. And they trusted this decision that they made here in the way, the Jewish way that they did here of casting of lots. But in this here, we see that God is at work filling this hole that was in the 12 apostles and preparing them to take this message around the world. So Peter here also recognizes that his ministry is to serve. So in choosing this 12th person, Peter realizes that he needs to serve and all of these 12 people need to serve just like Jesus did. In that argument that the apostles were having in the upper room of who is the greatest, sitting there discussing, you think in this moment of that's painted for us and put out there as pictures of the Last Supper, serious solemn occasion. Here these guys are saying, no, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. And Jesus, in correcting that in Luke chapter 22, has this to say to these guys. The dispute arose among them as to which was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. So Jesus' example to them was one of a servant. He led them, he taught them, he was the one who served like the lowliest of servants. And somehow, because of the change that has come across them, because they had seen Jesus die and rise again and do all that he had done, they're realizing that they can serve now like him. They can serve. They don't have to lord it over and command people and say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. They can serve. They can come alongside and take care of people. They can come alongside and care for and encourage and teach, not from a position of authority, but a position of coming alongside of and being with those around them. So here at the very beginning, as Peter is filling this hole among the apostles, he's solving this problem and teaching us that the important mark of someone who is in service, the one who is in ministry, the one who is in a place of labor, who's working, no matter where they are, in Jesus' eyes, is the one who serves. Servant leader. One who cares, one who is concerned, but does it in a way that also shows leadership. This is not the norm. There's books written on this. In fact, I was joking with some of my colleagues as we were talking about this sermon, that you could actually, if you wanted to go the modern route in titling the sermon, say, using God's word to advance your career. Does that sound like a winner? Anybody want to hear that sermon? Because the principles here really do work. There's books written on being a servant leadership, of being a servant and leading, of taking care of those around you and really caring about them in order to help your company advance. These are principles that work. But in this context here, Peter's just saying, this is the example we have. This is what we're supposed to do because Jesus did it. This is not just to advance your career. This is not to look good in front of people and people say, oh, he's really got this new fad figured out. No, Peter's saying, this is Jesus. He served. He got down and he washed our feet. He brought us what we needed. He took care of us. And now we, the 12 who are representing what God is doing here on earth, we're going to do the same. I'm going to take care of you. And this new person that's adding to our numbers, he's going to serve you as well. So in these verses here that we're talking about, it, Peter says the person who has to join us has to have been one of our number and has shared in our ministry. This is the word that's translated here. Or shared in our service is another way that this word can be translated. Or in verse 24 it says, show us, in their prayer to God, which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, this apostolic service. That Greek word goes either way, service or ministry. So they're emphasizing here in these verses that the person who takes this role is a servant. One who cares for others, who's walked with Jesus, who knows Jesus, who spent time with him, knows his word, and serves. Cares for those that are around. So what would it look like today if you and I were going to be numbered amongst these 12? Or to take it a step further, amongst the 120 that were gathered. What if we were to take our part in advancing the kingdom of God? What would it look like? What would it look like for us to be like Jesus here in this story, in this narrative? Because we want to take the scripture that we're reading, this book of Acts, this narrative, this story, and say, this is for today. This is for me. This is for us here as the International Church of Skopje. How do we take this and say, I fit into this story? How are our minds opened? I think one of the things we're going to see in following this is we ourselves need to spend time with Jesus. That's a great way of saying, spend time in God's Word. Read the Bible. We need to spend time looking through this book. Sometimes it's reading one verse and thinking about it. Sometimes it's taking the time to read a whole chapter or the whole book. Next week before you come, take the time to read Luke or Acts chapter 2. We're going to be speaking about it next week. Come ready. What does God's Word have to say? We heard earlier one of the Psalms that Elizabeth read for us, Psalm chapter 8. Read in the Psalms. To be a follower of Jesus and to serve other people means we need to know what's in this book. Not that we have to quote it word for word, but we need to know the ideas, the big picture, what God is doing through these words here. And we also need to recognize that God is changing our life. How many of you can share a story right now of something that God has done in your life in the last 6 months? Because God stepped into my life, shared something with me, I'm different today. You've been experiencing God's work in your life? Because you can. Knowing God's word and thinking about it each day and saying, God, how does this apply to my life? It changes us slowly. But you ask people that are around us, they'll recognize those changes in us. But it comes from being in God's Word and spending time with Him. And then paying attention to Him. So we can talk about it. This is important to me. What we're important about, what is important to us, we talk about. We let people know. And then listen to those that are around. The apostles, the people that were in that room, said, these two guys fit the qualifications. Let's put them forward and see what God has to say. So what are your friends around you saying, hey, this is a way that you could serve. This is a way you could help out. Hey, I know you have a huge heart for helping people. Why don't you see what the church is doing to help out the migrants? Maybe you can be a part of that, help them. Maybe you really care about something else. Maybe you love children and you don't realize they need lots of Sunday school workers. You could be a part of helping out there. Or you sing, or you do creative crafts to decorate. In fact, we could have used some more decorations this morning, but they're not up. It's okay. There's so many ways, but only that we can serve here in this room, one another, or that we can serve wherever we are by caring for those in need, seeing somebody at a stoplight, and finding a practical way to help, not just giving them the typical 10 dangers for washing your windows.
What do we do that engages the world around us and allows us to serve those that are in our circles of influence, to care for those that are around us? It's also important to realize that God is looking into our heart. In the prayer that Peter prayed, they said, Lord, you know, these two guys look into us, but you're the one that looks into their heart and says, this is my person. So as you're thinking about serving, saying, God, examine me. Is my life pure? What do I mean by pure? Is it holy? Is it living up to your standard? Am I living my life focused on you rather than focused on someone else or myself? Which direction is my focus of my life going? Myself, my career, my life, or is it going towards God and His kingdom? Probably doesn't look different to other people, but we know it for ourselves. Whether what I'm doing is for God or for myself or for other people around us. And then lastly, just be willing. These two guys, they were there, they were ready, and finally one of them was told, you, is it Matthias? Is that the right name? Matthias was the one that was chosen. He was the one that was ready to serve, and he was chosen. So be willing. We're going to see throughout this year how God is going to build this church, build his kingdom, build what he is doing, to go from the 120 that are mentioned here in this chapter to thousands upon thousands. Thousands of them gathered in one city of Jerusalem, to those thousands scattered out for all of Israel, to the ends of the earth. We get included in that today because in this room, we have people from the ends of the earth. And that's what God is about. Touching lives everywhere, all the time. And we are a part of that. And we do it by getting involved. We do it by being a part of this work of God, of building His church. So how are you serving? What does it look like for you to serve God? Not ICS, the International Church of Skopje. What does it look like for you to serve God and His church, His kingdom? Where does God have you? What does He have you doing? Those are questions you can ask yourself. You can ask your close friends. You can ask people in your small group. This is what I think, or what do you think? This is a good question to be asking ourselves this week. And we're going to be building on this because God is building His church here in these chapters that we're reading in the book of Acts. Last week, we looked at advancing the kingdom of God by gathering with others and waiting in prayer. So prayer is a part of this whole thing, as well as moving from being an observer to a servant, one who serves. Take this, apply it to your life, and let God change you. Let's pray. Father God, these are examples that we have in Scripture, examples of how we can live, how we can be a part of what you are doing, of advancing your kingdom, of being a part of what your church is doing around the world. Encourage us this morning. Show us our place. And help us to be ready and willing to serve. In Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter in Acts reminds us that Jesus was betrayed. It says, because Judas brought